వాత్సల్యామృతవర్షిణీ సుమధురం సంకీర్తనాలాపిని శ్యామాంగీ మధుచిత్తసూక్తి అమృతానందాత్మికామీశ్వరీ சம்மோதத்தோடு சாந்த்வனங்கள் அருளும் தேஜஸ்வினி சத்குரு பிரம்மானந்த ரசமணிந்த குருளே நீ தன்னை ஆசிரயம் பிரம்மானந்த ரசமணிந்த குருளே நீ தன்னை ஆசிரயம் பிரம்மானந்த ரசமணிந்த குருளே Yeah, we'll discuss the first few shlokas of the 12th chapter of Gita. The 7 shlokas. If we have the text, you can bring it, like, book it and get it. So the first shloka, like, you can chant, you can repeat so that we know the Vibhaghata shlokas. अतद्वादशोऽध्यायः
अतद्वादशोऽध्यायः
अर्जुन उवाच
अर्जुन उवाच
एवं सततयुक्ता ये
एवं सततयुक्ता ये
भक्ता त्वां पर्युपासते
भक्ता त्वां पर्युपासते
ये चाप्यक्षरमव्यक्तम्
ये चाप्यक्षरमव्यक्तम्
तेषां के योगवित्तमाः
तेषां के योगवित्तमाः
एवं सततयुक्ता ये
एवं सततयुक्ता ये
भक्ता त्वां पर्युपासते
भक्ता त्वां पर्युपासते
ये चाप्यक्षरमव्यक्तम्
ये चाप्यक्षरमव्यक्तम्
तेषां के योगवित्तमाः
तेषां के योगवित्तमाः
वन् लास्ट् टैम् विल् चेन् एवं सततयुक्ता ये
एवं सततयुक्ता ये
भक्ता त्वां पर्युपासते
भक्ता त्वां पर्युपासते
ये चाप्यक्षरमव्यक्तम्
ये चाप्यक्षरमव्यक्तम्
तेषां के योगवित्तमाः
तेषां के योगवित्तमाः
So this 12th chapter is called Bhakti Yoga. So it's the chapter that speaks about devotion or all facets of devotion. So this chapter incomplete, like it consists of 20 shlokas. So all the 20 shlokas speak about various aspects of devotion and like the views of devotion as per Krishna, Bhagavan. So it's almost the same concept that had been explained by Narada in Narada Bhakti Sutra and Shandilya in Shandilya Bhakti Sutra. So Bhakti, literature of Bhakti, or where is Bhakti defined? So the moment we speak about Bhakti, the first person that comes to mind is Narada. Narada is considered to be a Bhakta, like always singing the names of Narayana, of Ishvara. So he is the person known. So he wrote his sutra. We know sutra, we all know like what a sutra means. So he wrote his sutra, which is called Narada Bhakti Sutra, which has 84 sutras in total. So that is one literature of Bhakti. And then there is another sutra work written by Shandilya. Shandilya was a sage. So Shandilya Bhakti Sutra, that has 100 odd shlokas, sutras. So those are the two works that are there about Bhakti, defining Bhakti, Bhagavatam. There are many other works which speak about Bhakti. Bhakti not as the Bhakti that we know, but as Bhakti, the real meaning of Bhakti. We'll come to that, but Bhagavatam is a Bhakti Grantham, but this the Bhakti that Bhagavatam speaks about is not different from Jnanam that Shankara says, or the Jnanam that Vedanta defines or prescribes as the means to moksha. So it's not different. So we'll see that. But Bhagavatam is also considered. But sutra are like definitive works or works which define bhakti. So subject matter which has subject matter of just bhakti. Those are the two works that come to my mind at least for now. So this is another chapter where Krishna speaks about bhakti, and the bhakti that he speaks is as per Vedanta. So that means like the bhakti that he is speaking about is accepted in the Jnana Marga, accepted by Shankara. That means accepted by Vedantins. So that is the importance of this bhakti. Without an understanding of the bhakti yoga, if we learn Narada Bhakti Sutra or Shandilya Bhakti Sutra or the bhakti portions of Bhagavatam or any other grantha, will not be able to understand bhakti completely. Bhakti will not become complete unless we are able to correlate it with Vedanta, which Krishna does in this particular chapter. Why do we have to correlate bhakti with Vedanta? Why do we really need to correlate bhakti with Vedanta? So that goes to the fundamental question of Vedanta as to how can I attain bliss? How can I get anandam? So that's the goal of life. Goal of life, like irrespective of who, or irrespective of like the nature of a person, irrespective of the environment from which a person comes. Not even human beings, but all beings, they all are searching for this one thing called anandam. So though the common terms used in the current day HR management, or like people who are experts in counseling or like trying to career counseling and all, they define goal as like into two. So one is short-term goal and the other is long-term goal. So short-term goal, my short-term goal could be that I want to earn more money. My short-term goal can be that like I just want to become a project manager. That's my short-term goal. But that's not a long-term goal. Long-term goal is what I really want to become in life. That doesn't change. As per like HR people and all, long-term goal never changes. Short-term goal changes. But the long-term goal that they speak about varies from person to person. Somebody might want to become a scientist. Somebody else wants to become a philosopher. So it becomes like, it is different for different individuals. But like age-old rishis from the Vedic time period, they have found that irrespective of which being he is, everybody is seeking the goal, one long-term goal of anandam. So if I say I want to earn more money. So why do I want to earn more money? Because then I will be happy. So like I want to join Chinmaya Mission. Why do I want to join Chinmaya Mission? I'll get knowledge. Why do you want to get knowledge? Because after that I can lead a normal life. I want to get married. Why do you want to get married? Because then I'll have somebody, some mental support. Why do you want to have mental or emotional support? Because then I'll be happy. So happiness or anandam is the ultimate goal of each and every person. And that is what like Vedanta, not just Vedanta, but all the Vedas, the Shat Darshanas, which are based on the Vedas, they all target this one goal, how to achieve that anandam. So that is what is the primary question. Like even if we are a bhakta or a jnani, the ultimate aim is I want to be happy. So but the bhakta can say, no, I don't want to be happy. Amrita Swarupananda might say, I don't want to be happy. I want Amma to be happy. But I want Amma to be happy. So this is one of the objections raised in one of the Vedantic works. Somebody says, okay, I don't want to be happy. I want my lover to be happy. So why do I want my lover to be happy? I want my lover to be happy because when my lover is happy, I'll be happy. I want Amma to be happy because when Amma is happy, I can also be happy. Amrita Swarupananda knows that Therefore, there is no fault in such a statement, because when he says, I want Amma to be happy, he knows that if Amma is happy, then I also will be happy. He knows, so there is no fault there. So if, even in the case of a bhakta, that's the reason why Yajnavalkya, like many people might think, okay, bhakti, devotion, okay, if I do dhyanam and I go into an intoxicated state, like if tears come out of my eyes, when I am singing, tears come out of my eyes, when I do dhyanam, I cry, that is moksha. That's not moksha. Because why do we get into such a state? Because of anandam. And anandam is impossible without knowledge. Why is anandam impossible without knowledge? Because, as I was telling, like Yajnavalkya says to Maitreyi, his wife, in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, that whatever we are seeking, it's only for my own self. It's only for my own ananda. And ananda can be attained or achieved through only jnanam, because it is my very nature and I have forgotten it. So that means as Amma says, like we may think, oh, Amma says people to do sadhana. Amma says we should do social service. Lot of people are there. Like I have met lot of Amma's devotees. They say, oh, you're not attending retreat. You're not going for Brahmasthana Pratishtha. You are talking with someone about Vedanta. You're not sitting for Lila Darsanama. What is the point? Amma says you should do this. Amma says that you should do social service. But they all don't really know what Amma is telling. If we go back to what Amma, or like her books, if we read, we'll clearly find as to what Amma is hinting at. And all these people forget to notice Amma's discourse in India. In India, like whenever she speaks here, you cannot say it. It's very tough to say here that, okay, you need knowledge. At least Westerners who are like completely into all sorts of worldly problems, they at least come to Amma, that itself is great. So you cannot expect them to go to Jnanam. But Amma says in India, she says like Advaita means Satyam. And all the problems, like I know, like people come and people are suffering and they come to me for help. But all this suffering is because of lack of knowledge of scriptures. And she says, okay, I know that it is very tough to learn the scriptures. The Shastram is not very easy to learn. You need to find the right guru. You need to find, like, learn Sanskrit. You need to have a lot of patience. You need a lot of effort into it. So it's tough. So I'm not telling you should learn the Shastra, but at least you can discuss Gita. Gita is simple, so you can discuss Gita. Evam sadada yukta ye bhaktaha tvam pariyupasate. Evam in this way sadada yuktaha. Yukta ye means who. It's very simple, like bhaktaha ye bhaktaha, whatever bhaktas are there. Tvam means you. Pariyupasate means, we know upasana. Pariyupasate means, pari means total, paridaha means complete. That means completely worshipping. It's so simple. If we compare this, kasminna bhago vijnate sarvamidam vijnatam bhavati. It's not that simple. Atmanam ratinam vidhi shariram tu ratameva. All those shlokas, if we take the Upanishad or we take any of the Vedic shlokas, it's very tough to understand. But Gita is simple to understand. So Amma says we should learn that. So Amma also says, like we can't say Amma says we need to do social service and all. She says that is needed for purification of mind, but it cannot give us moksha. It cannot give us moksha because moksha can be attained only through jnanam, because moksha is our own nature. That which we already are, the Shamastvam, the tenfold story, that says it, like we cannot create a new fool. Like somebody, the passerby didn't tell, okay, do this sadhana, go and have bath again, you will find the 10th person. There's no way that can happen. So the only way is you are already that. That means we are already that, but we don't know. That means knowledge alone, knowledge that I am the self, that alone can give us ananda. If I am the nature, then why is I don't know it now? You don't know it because the mind is not pure. And purification of mind is the goal of all sadhana. Sadhanas help in purification of mind, but sadhanas cannot give you or give you moksha. Moksha can be attained only through knowledge. It's like telling, I want to go to office. And I go in Shanti's car to office. But can the car take me to my cubicle? The car cannot take you. Car only can take you to the office. You have to walk the final step into the cubicle. So that's where Shankara says that all these sadhanas, whatever we have, whether you call it bhakti or karma or even jnana sadhana, any of the sadhanas, learning, prabhashanam, listening, shravanam, all those are sadhana. Like whatever we do, just mere going for discourses and all those cannot give us moksha, because all those only purify the mind. Only jnanam. So where Shankara says, jnanam alone can give us the anandam. So that means anandam can be attained only through jnanam. If that is the case, then like what is the point of being a bhakta? So that's the reason why like we need to understand bhakti in a complete approach. So bhakti itself, we can say bhakti, sadhana bhakti is there, sadhya bhakti is there. Sadhana means the path, sadhyam means the goal. So sadhana bhakti is what we are familiar with, like whatever we say bhakti, that is sadhana bhakti, whereas sadhya bhakti is called merging on to Ishvara. So that Atma Nivedanam is what it is called. Atma Nivedanam of Nivedhyam. Why do we offer Nivedhyam to Amma? So that the essence there, Nivedhyam, is we are offering ourselves. That means we are offering our own ego. We are offering everything to Amma. If we offer everything, what remains behind is only Amma. That means that is permanent. That is the same what Vedanta also says. Jnanam also is the same thing. What is jnanam? You like negate the ego, and what remains behind is one Brahman alone. So it's the same that. But the sadhana bhakti is what we know. That's why we think that bhakti is different from jnana. But as per Vedanta, bhakti is the same as jnana. Sadhana bhakti is not same as jnanam. But sadhya bhakti, which is also called as para bhakti. Para means superior or supreme bhakti, and apara, lower bhakti, is sadhana bhakti. And we may also think, okay, can a person in sadhana bhakti, can he realize without jnanam? It's impossible, because as we said, the car can only take us to the office. It cannot make us go to our cubicle. So going to the cubicle is sadhya bhakti or jnanam, both are same. So we definitely need that. But will a person who does sadhana be able to have sadhana bhakti? Will he be able to realize? That's what Krishna says. He will be able to realize if there is real sadhana bhakti. So Krishna here Krishna answers all these questions, but that was not Arjuna's question. Arjuna's question was a little bit different, but still Krishna answers all this by telling, or he also clarifies as to what is even sadhana bhakti. Is sadhana bhakti just like praising Amma? Is sadhana bhakti just spreading Amma's name? We may be able to like bring like 10 or 100 of people to Amma. I'm not mocking, it's a very good thing because they are help. But is that bhakti? That's not bhakti. So if we know that, then like it doesn't matter. Okay. As much as I can do, I'll do. The rest, I offer to Amma. So that's the difference there. A person who enters into all these, like into these kind of social service, if he doesn't know this, then if somebody doesn't go to Amma, then... But that's also fine. Like as long as we know that, okay, this sadhana bhakti, the real sadhana bhakti is not all this, but somehow Amma has given me that role. Somehow I am able to do it, so let me try my best. I am not bothered, like if there is nobody, still fine. If there is nobody to listen, that's also fine. If there is nobody to learn about Brahma Sutra, still I am fine. I don't need any Brahma Sutra. At least I will be safe without learning Brahma Sutra. So that's what Krishna clarifies here, that bhakti as we know is not real bhakti. We think that, okay, going to temple, doing lalita sahasranama, conducting bhajan, all those are bhakti. But those are not, those are like just ways to get bhakti. We don't like, and that too sadhana bhakti, it's not even sadhya bhakti. We haven't even gone, like, it's like telling we haven't like gone till the office. We are in our house and we are trying to find out some car. Oh, is Shanti there? If not, is Raj there? Is somebody else there? That is what we are trying to do through like the what we call as devotion. That's not real devotion. So very important to know as to how Krishna defines that devotion. Sadhana bhakti itself, how he defines, because that is like, that is essential for us to realize. If we have to realize, then we need to know bhakti. We may say that, okay, oh, Aparna has a lot of devotion. In dhyanam, like she was like crying. Oh, what devotion. Oh, Shanti in sleep, she calls Amma's names. What am I doing? I am not doing anything. That is not like, if somebody says all those are devotion, those are not devotion, because though may be or may not be, but those are not what defines devotion. And if we don't know that, then we will start praising and say, oh, this is very great. We will meet some devotees of Amma who will be like 10-15 years with Amma and say, oh, so great. And they will start telling, Sai Baba is wrong. Amma alone can give us truth. Shankaracharya, forget him. Only Amma can give you. Like many, it's not just with Amma. All these mission people, when there is lack of knowledge as to what is real bhakti, what is real jnanam and God, people just like enter into these things, and that is not real devotion. So if we don't know what is real bhakti, then we will get distracted by those thinking, oof, such great, oh, Dayamrita came to this house. Don't worry, like tomorrow Yamadeva also will come. Then you can say, I am one with Nachiketa. Yama came to my house. So that's not, the goal is not like any of those, because we need to know what is bhakti. If we don't know what is bhakti, we can very easily get distracted. Tomorrow Dayamrita will come and say, can you pick me up? Oh, ready. Dayamrita, like he is the person managing Amma's like activities in entire US. What great. Swamini, come. I have to do something for Swamini. Okay, don't take it in the negative way. But it's just that those are just like, those are not even bhakti. We need, unless we know what is real bhakti, we'll get distracted into those. Amma never says that, okay, follow what Swami Amrita Swarupananda says. We can never hear Amma say that. Amma never, and whenever Amma says that, okay, Amma never says follow me. Amrita Swarupananda might say follow Amma. Amma never says follow me. Amma says, Amma tells, follow Amma. So that Amma never uses I. Didn't I tell you? Like you can never, like if you ask a question to Amma, like Amma, can you do this sankalpam? I need a job, so can you do sankalpam? Amma will say, Amma sankalpika. Amma will do sankalpa. She doesn't say, I will do sankalpa. That's the biggest, like, what to say, the biggest level of a Mahatma. Never using the I. So when Amma says, Amma sankalpika, she's not telling herself. She's telling that self, which is present everywhere. She is speaking about Parashakti. So in that, like, Amma doesn't say anything about herself. So how can she say that, okay, Dayamrita is coming, please take care of him. Dayamrita is telling that, this guy is like misguiding you, so I'll stop. Amma will never say anything like that, because Amma is at that like Parashakti level. She'll not speak about any person, anything that way. So we should know that, okay, what is real devotion? Real devotion is learning from Sadguru rather than any other person. If I say something, I might say something. I might say, Shankara Bhagavad Pada says in Brahma Sutra Bhashya that you should do this. You can openly say, no, I will not do it. Why? let me verify whether Amma has said it. Can you prove Amma has said it? That is fine. Amma and Shankara are same. So I'll show you like the Brahma Sutra Bhashyam where it says. I'll give you the translation as well. So you can follow. You can openly say, no, I'll not follow it. You can openly say because Amma doesn't verify it. If Amma doesn't verify, that means Krishna or Shankara cannot verify. Whatever you are telling is wrong. So that is real devotion. Real devotion is when we know that there are like Sadgurus and Ishwaras like Krishna. And whatever they say, we accept. Anything else, we just reject. Because that is called devotion. That means like we believe only in people who can really be believed. That is what Krishna will explain here as devotion. Some aspects of devotion. So this is just an introduction as to what is bhakti. We should know. After learning at least few shlokas of this chapter, we should never again say that, oh, Hari Ram, so devotional, he sings so well. He sings alapanam. We should never say that because you should try to find out like, is that real devotion? That's not real devotion. Just because somebody is able to sing or just because somebody is able to speak about Amma or Brahma Sutra doesn't make a person a devotee of Ishvara. Because bhakti is far away from it. Real bhakti is not any of those what we think are. Even sadhana bhakti. So, like it's not even the car which can transport us to our office. So if we like, it's like telling, okay, I see Aparna, like Aparna is so good devotee. So let me like hold on to her to go to office. Then you'll never go to office because she doesn't have a car. So that's what would happen. So we need to know like as to what is real bhakti. So here Krishna answers, like gives a very, very clear definition of what is sadhana bhakti and what is sadhya bhakti as well. Sadhyam is the goal to be achieved. Sadhana is which can lead us to the goal. So can we directly go to office without a car? We can. If we are already in office, if we are just outside office, we live next door, we can go to office. So there are, though the case is very less, like there are very few people who can directly attain sadhyam. There are very few people, oh, city bank is in a hilly area, who will stay there, so nobody can attain. That's fine. But sadhya bhakti can be attained, like somebody says, okay, there is a guest room there, like I'll crash there. Daily I'll crash, remember, in feel like people do it common, so, dom.
What from home?
Where? Work from home? Yeah, you can do that. See, next option, work from home, yeah. That's also option. But, like, work from home is like telling that, okay, it's like telling, like, I'll remotely connect to moksha. As long as it is fine, I am fine. I'll remotely connect to moksha. I won't go to moksha, but I'll remotely connect. I'll not go to Amma, but I'll remotely connect to Amma. It's possible. But that's again like that won't give us the goal, so work from home is not an option. So the thing is like the point is sadhya bhakti, directly getting sadhya bhakti is possible for people like who are well matured, who have already done the sadhana in previous birth, we can consider it in that way. But it is possible, it's very rare. So ideal case is we have to do sadhana and then we get the sadhya. It is possible. We shouldn't say tomorrow we see somebody, like we see Balakrishna Nair and say, have you chanted Lalita Sahasranama? No, I haven't. Have you had Upanayana? No, I haven't. Have you met Amma? No, I haven't. Oh, then you are not realized. We shouldn't say that because there are exceptional cases. Then like we'll have to go to Ramana Maharshi and say, like, are you realized? He'll say, everybody is realized. I don't agree. Why? Because you haven't learned Brahma Sutra. You don't know Shankara Bhashyam, so don't. Get away, get lost. No, no, she will, oh, thank you, you'll go away. But with that, our moksha also will go away. So, like, we shouldn't say that. So, sadhya bhakti, directly attaining moksha, sadhya bhakti without any sadhana is possible. But, normal cases, you have to do sadhana. So we shouldn't encounter somebody tomorrow and ask them, okay, are you a devotee of Amma?
Yes.
Do you sing bhajans?
No.
Do you chant Lalita Sahasranama? No. Do you do any sadhana? No. Oh, then you are not a devotee. You should not say that. Okay, like this is for me also, so and this has a personal, like what say, personal tint to it, because I don't do any sadhana. Like frankly speaking, I don't do any sadhana. I don't claim to be a devotee as well. It's a different thing. But we should know that, okay, just doing sadhana doesn't mean, or lack of doing sadhana doesn't mean the person is not realized. And these sadhanas that we are speaking about is like the first sadhana, beginning sadhana, which is a step to sadhana bhakti. Sadhana bhakti is what, like, people might already have sadhana bhakti. I don't need sadhana bhakti because I'm already beyond that. So there are people like that. So remembering all this, coming to the chapter. Okay. Oh, ippera, the chapter gondane. Okay. Coming to the chapter, like the stage is set up here like Krishna. In the previous chapters, Krishna gave a Vishwarupa darshanam to Arjuna. Form in the sense like Vishwarupam, the form that which pervades the entire world. So Arjuna sees lot of people coming through Krishna's nose, eyes, ears and all. He sees the entire world in Krishna. So it's a form worship. So Arjuna has learned. Arjuna is also like a good person. He has learned the Shastra and he hasn't like experienced like most of us. So he has learned in the Shastra that Brahman is Nirguna. Brahman is without any gunam. Brahman cannot be limited to any form. It is nirakaram. It's without any akaram, without any form, it is without any gunas. But here Krishna says, gives him a form and says, I am everything, I am Brahman, he says. So Arjuna gets confused. Whatever I have learned till now, in my, like, when I did my graduation, let's say, like, when I did my graduation, okay, somehow they gave me a certificate, like, today you don't even need to go to school to get a graduation certificate, but somehow Arjuna went to school, he gave a certificate, but he didn't realize, it's just like in his brain, nothing else. So he says, I've learned that, okay, Brahman is Nirgunam, but you are giving me a form here. So I need to know, which of this is better? We always like want the best way. If moksha, like if I can get it sitting at home, work from home, moksha, I am happy. So that's anyway, not criticizing, but that's what, like, we want to know which is the best so that we can very easily attain moksha. Very quickly, easily, assurance as well. So Arjuna asks Krishna, these both are there, tell me which one is. So evam means ukta prakaram or purvokta prakaram, previously whatever has been told to me till now. That means you have explained about Vishwarupa darshanam, Vishwarupa, people worshipping the Vishwarupa, and also that form means form God. Vishwarupam, like, we don't need to think much about it, it's form. So evam, in this way, whatever you have explained till now about sakara bhakti, Satata yukta means satata yukta means like people whose mind is focused. Satatam means always. So people, satat, I think maybe it's there in many languages. So satatam means like always or constantly. So always focused. Ye means who? Bhaktaha means those devotees. So those devotees, satata yukta, who are constantly thinking of this form in whatever way you have said, and pariyupasate tvam, you pariyupasate, they worship you. So upasana is like, we can do upasana or upasana means that daily I do upasana for 1 hour, but pariyupasana means, paritaha means surrounding, is what's the meaning of paritaha, means like surrounding. That means completely doing upasana, that means always doing upasana. That goes with satata yukta. People whose mind is always fixed on me, if their mind is always fixed on me, they will always do actions as well. If mind is always fixed on tea, I'll ask Shanti to give tea. Tea, tea, tea. So that's what happens. So Satata Yukta means whose mind is focused on me. And because of that, Pariyupasate, they worship me. And Yecha. So the next line is Yecha Api Aksharam Avyaktam. So Ye. Ye means who. Cha. Cha means and. So these people, these bhaktas who worship this form, and cha means and, ye, those, echa api, ye api, and those who, like api means like also we can say, and those others also who, avyaktam, avyaktam means like avyaktam means without a form, avyaktam means vyaktam means which is differentiated, which is clear. Clear means like which has a form, manifested. Avyakta means unmanifested. And Aksharam, Aksharam means Akshara Brahman or Nirguna Brahman. So Echa Api Aksharam Avyaktam. So there are two types of people here, Krishna, Arjuna says. One are people like who evam in this way Vishwarupa Darshanam who do. And other are Nirguna Bhaktas. Of these, Tesham, Tesham means of these two people, of these two groups of people, Tesham, Ke. Ke means who? Yoga Vittamaha. Yoga Vitt. Yoga Vitt means like who are really established in Yogam. In Yogam means Moksha. So whoever are, here Yoga can also mean like we can interpret Yoga Vittamaha. So Yoga Vitt, Vittamaha means like people who have this, Yoga Vitt. So Yogavit we can say here as like people who are better. Who are better. So the simple meaning is who are better. So of these two people, who are better is what Arjuna's question. And that is what like is the subject matter of this entire chapter. The rest 19 shloka is Krishna's explanation of these two, the question that which of these is better. So if which of these is better, of course like Arjuna himself has defined those two, but Krishna being a perfect teacher, he also reiterates Arjuna's statement. Therefore ensuring that whether you are asking the right question or whether Krishna has got the right question. Oh, Krishna knows everything. Jagadguru, so how can he not understand Arjuna's state? But Krishna is again like trying to reiterate again within his own words. To ensure that like maybe some other seeker has some other ways or some other perspective, all those are answered. So that's what Krishna does in the next few shlokas. But Arjuna himself has given the quality of both these, what these both are. So one is Echa Api Aksharam Avyaktam. So Aksharam Avyaktam, it's very clear. Akshara Brahman, which is Avyaktam. And Nirguna Brahman, if you have to worship, can you worship Nirguna Brahman without knowing that it pervades everything? Without knowing that it alone is there, without knowing that it is a substratum, mithya, adhikata, adhishtana, without knowing that you cannot worship Nirguna Brahman. Because the very concept of Nirguna Brahman is, definition of Nirguna Brahman itself is that, it is that from which everything comes. The second sutra, Brahma Sutra, speaks about that janma adhyasya yataha. Whatever has come, the entire world has come from Nirguna Brahman. The entire world is in Nirguna Brahman. The entire world merges onto Nirguna Brahman during destruction. So it's like telling the pot came from mud. The pot resides in the substratum of mud. The pot merges into the substratum of mud. If that is the case, there is only mud there. There is nothing called pot. Whatever is there is mud. So Nirguna Brahman is that from which the entire world has come, source of the entire world, in which the world resides and onto which the world merges. That is the case, the world has to be that Brahman. That means there is only Nirguna Brahman. Means Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya automatically comes there. So that is what means like Aksharam Avyaktam. So Nirguna Bhakta, if somebody says, oh, I don't have any form worship. I like between my eyebrows, I meditate on Jyoti. Amma says that Nirguna Bhaktas should do that. I do that. If we say, we should remember next time that if somebody says to us as well, we should say, oh, Don't lie, come on. I know, don't think you can fool around. Don't think I don't know Bhagavad Gita. I'll quote from Bhagavad Gita. If that is not enough, I'll give you Chinmaya's book as well. Wait, I'll go and get Chinmaya's book and then I'll give you. If it is not there, I'll go and get from Chinmaya Mission and then give you. And you shouldn't escape, therefore come with me as well. You can sit in the car. I'll explain till then. So anyway, that's all like it's. So we should know that, okay, what is Nirguna Bhakti? Nirguna Bhakti means automatically Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. That's why I said Sadhya Bhakti is already there for such people. That those are people called Jnanis by Shankara. Those are Jnanis like who have almost experienced Brahman because they are living this particular truth. So such people like they don't need any sadhana because they are always immersed in that truth. If you go to Balakrishna Nair or Ramana Maharshi and ask, what is this world? Balakrishna Nair will say, oh, like let's now discuss. What do you find in the world? Then he'll say, like, there are only two things here. Only Chit, there is only Jadam. And Chit is one alone. Jadam is many. Chit is real because it can experience itself. Jadam is unreal. That means there is only Chit everywhere. Is it done? So now have you got the answer as to what is the world? Have you got an answer to what is Dhyanam? Yeah. Clear. Why? Dhyanam is also an illusion. Whatever is there is Chit. So done. So if you go and ask him all these questions, he'll get only one reply always. So that those people don't need any sadhana. They don't need any sadhana. So they don't need sadhana. Just because they don't need sadhana doesn't mean they are not realize. So Nirguna Bhakti is, we already know Nirguna Bhakti, so that's clear there. And what is Sadhana Bhakti, whatever Arjuna says? So he gives two qualities there, Satata Yukta and Pariyupasate. Always thinking about me, always worshipping me. Worship means, oh, I really do Arjuna to Amma. That is not worship. Worship means it can be anything. Yadyat karma karomi tattadakilam shambhoho tava aradhanam karomi yadyat sakalam parasmai narayanayati samarpayami. All those is what is called pariyupasati. Pariyupasana means like not upasana as such. Whatever is being done is a worship, is a upasana. That is called pariyupasana. So that itself speaks as to what is sadhana bhakti. Sadhana bhakti is people like who know the truth, who know that Brahman is formless, but somehow they can't worship Nirguna Brahman. How can you worship Nirguna Brahman? Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. Always remembering that Chit Jadam, Chit alone is real, Jadam is unreal. That is what is called Nirguna Upasana. But can we really do that? It's very tough. So if we need to like get to that state, get to that Sadhya Bhakti, we need Sadhana Bhakti. So we need Upasana. So these bhaktas, these saguna bhaktas have upasana, they do upasana, but upasana means like pari upasana. And that upasana itself means they know Nirguna Brahman as it. Like they have a view of Nirguna Brahman, but still the upasana itself means like you need some goal. Some goal and on which like you have to do upasana. I cannot say, I do upasana of Nirguna Brahman. How do you do upasana? So Amma will ask, like people go to Amma. That's when like, that's why we really don't know Amma and all. Like we may think, by the way, like Swami Avadhu Sudupananda or other Swamiji speak about Amma, we may think that Amma is speaking about bhakti. Amma is speaking like when whoever comes to Amma and says, I am chanting Lotus Rasanama daily. Amma will say, oh, you are a great bhakta. Amma will never say that. In her book, like few people go to Amma and they say, Amma, like, I have done lot of abhishekam, but I don't have any peace. Ishwara is not showing his grace to me. So Amma says that I'll show you Ishwara. You have to do abhishekam of the Ishwara. Amma says, like, come with me. She shows the Arabian Sea. Samudram is one of the manifestations of Ishwara. So do abhishekam for Samudram. And then come back to me. That's what Amma says. And one of the like age old analogy is like, it's like, if the moment we say I did this, It's like telling I showed light to sun. I was standing out like yesterday night. Sun cannot see. Let me show. So it is like that way. So Amma, we don't really know like what Amma is preaching and all. So Pari Upasana itself means, Nirguna Brahman Upasana means like, it's only knowing, knowledge alone is that. But Pari Upasana means you need something to worship, some form you need. And like as to how that form becomes a formless, here what Krishna says in the next few shlokas. But you need a form, that means one is Saguna Bhakti, Sadhana Bhakti, the other is Nirguna Bhakti or Sadhya Bhakti. So Sadhana Bhakti means Satata Yukta, who always worship about me, like Chinmaya will beautifully say, when something goes bad, Amma didn't protect me, my parents are troubling me, Amma didn't protect me. And when you join Chinmaya Mission, I joined. So blame Ishvara when something doesn't happen. And when something happens, you did it. Chinmaya's expression is so beautiful in one of the CD. So that's not what is meant here. Satata Yukta means always remembering that Ishvara, and like we will see that like always not just remembering Ishvara, but knowing that Ishvara, because unless you know the sadhyam, you have sadhana, you have a car, but you don't have a path unless you know that the office is the goal. So you know that Nirgunam is to be, is real. Keeping that in your back, at the back of your mind, it's in the back of your mind, keeping that Nirguna Brahman, you just take a form to do worship. So that is what it calls Saguna Bhakti. So like Arjuna's question itself speaks about those two bhaktis, as Saguna and Nirguna. Yeah, we'll just learn the Krishna's shloka about Saguna Bhakti and stop. So the next shloka, so Krishna enters into explaining or answering Arjuna. So in order to answer Arjuna, he has to first explain these two bhakti and show as to, of course, like if he just explains or defines these two, Arjuna will say, I already know that, why are you reiterating the same thing? So Krishna says as to his view, as to which is better. So that's also an age-old question, which is better? Like some people may say, oh, this is better. Some people may say, that is better. Amrita Gita Anandapuri, he says like, in Amma's ashram, people come from outside, like scholars from outside, scholars as well as saints, from various missions, they come to give lectures. Means like Yajna, they will have conduct like 1 week on Kato Upanishad with Shankara Bhashyam, 1 week from Mundaka Upanishad on Mundaka Upanishad. So they, some sannyasis or scholars come, they give lectures. Of course, it's a rumor that like they asked Balakrishna Nair as well, but he didn't go, because if you go to like that place, like it's like telling you have to fall at the feet of Amma. How can like Ramana Maharshi fall at the feet of Ramakrishna Paramahansa when he knows that everything is Brahman? If everything is Brahman, like I cannot fall at anybody's feet, because then in that case, like I should fall at everybody's feet. I don't even know any different. So in that case, you cannot make. But Samatha Gita Andapuri used to tell that whenever like somebody used to come to give discourse, and after they go back, the brahmacharis of Amma's ashram, they'll come to Swamiji asking doubt. He's the one like who came from Chinmaya Mission. So he's like, he has knowledge, the base of Chinmaya Mission. So they'll go to him and ask doubt. That okay, whether sannyas ashrama is greater or grihastha ashrama is greater. Which is greater? Yeah, after 1 year you'll say, sannyasam is greater. Srini, you don't know. Sannyasam is greater. You don't know. It's very tough, you know. It's very, very tough. I have to wear a yellow color or white color dress. I cannot wear multiple dresses like you do. Can't do that. So like, sannyas, like when sannyasis come, they'll say that, okay, sannyas ashrama is really great. It's very tough. And then when grihastha, like scholars come, they'll say, Grihastha ashrama is great. Why? Swami Vivekananda has said that it is very tough to row a boat when the tides are high. So in Grihastha ashrama, you are in the world and you have to do everything. So that is really great. That's a out of context interpretation of it. So Swami Vivekananda is just telling for Like he's speaking towards the grihastha and he says, okay, don't worry if you are there, this is also good. So like people get confused there in Amma's ashram, they ask Swamiji. So Swamiji used to tell that it's not about sannyasam or grihastha. It's not about sagunam or nirgunam. You are in neither sagunam nor nirgunam. If you don't know the goal to be moksha, if you don't know the goal to be nirgunam, if you don't know that goal, if you don't know that it is office to be like to achieve, the goal to be achieved is office, you may be in the office but still you'll roam around. If you are away, you will have a car, you will have do sadhana, but you don't know the goal. So that is not what is meant here. Both, it's not about which one is greater. Both are greater, both are for different people. So this is one of the places where like people misinterpret, saying that since Arjuna asked about which one is greater, Krishna first says that. In the next shloka he says that saguna bhakti is greater as per my view. So that's what Krishna says. So many people interpret it as, okay, saguna bhakti is greater. We need a form, I'll worship Amma. Why? Krishna has said, no more. Like no more like doubt, no more objection. You cannot raise objection against Bhagavan. He cannot be questioned. He is the judge. He will close the case, so you cannot ask him any question. So that's what people think. But after explaining about Saguna Bhakti as being better, Krishna says that Saguna Bhaktas also, if you even if you travel in the car, you have to go inside. So that Sadhya Bhakti, you have to follow. You will be made to follow. But a person who is following Nirguna Bhakti, he will directly go to Sadhya Bhakti. Whereas a person who is following Sadhana Bhakti, Ishvara will slowly take him to through Sadhya Bhakti to Moksha. So that is inevitable. That's what Krishna reiterates in the next few shlokas. And like then in that case, like why did you tell that Sadhana Bhakti is greater or better as per you? Because he says, majority of the people like sadhyam, like majority of the people cannot live in office. The majority of the people also cannot work from home. People don't have secure IDs, people don't have laptops. So majority of the people cannot, don't ask who. Okay. Majority of the people cannot do it. Therefore I say that as per me, sadhana bhakti is better. For the majority of the people, sadhana bhakti is better. So it's a detailed analysis. Still, like, we'll have to spend hours and hours speaking on that to understand it. So we'll just see sadhana bhakti. So remember that when Krishna says in the second shloka that sadhana bhakti is greater, he's not telling about just sadhana bhakti. He's telling that for the majority of the people, sadhana bhakti is greater. That doesn't mean greater or better. That doesn't mean sadhya bhakti can be eliminated. That's always there. So it's like telling, even if we learn Gita or not, we'll have to eat. So eating is always there. Whether I eat before Lalita Sahasranama or after Lalita Sahasranama, it doesn't matter. Eating is always there. That cannot be eliminated. But this is what is happening. So like Nirguna Bhakti is always there. That has to be there. I don't want Nirguna Bhakti. I'll go to Amma will make me realize without Nirguna Bhakti. I can escape that. That is impossible because it's the only way to realization. But there's a one step below, and Krishna's words or the way he explains things are very beautiful later as to like he gives for Arjuna and for people like us, like who cannot do a lot of things. He says, okay, if you can't do this, I'll give you another way. So that's how he says it. But we'll just see. So just remember that Nirguna Bhakti, just because Krishna says in the second shloka that as per me, Saguna Bhakti is better, doesn't mean that Nirguna Bhakti is inferior. It only means that majority of the people, Saguna Bhakti is required to attain Nirguna Bhakti. Majority of the people cannot walk to office. So they have to take a car. So the next shloka is, Shri Bhagavan Vacha.